From the Tower of Babel to the rise of the beast, this is End Time Globalism and One World Governance. Our weekly comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton starts now.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Last Christian. We are going to have a good time today. We're going to continue our conversation based in Genesis like 11 and such. I think it's 11. I don't know. We just keep going. But the relevance of it is quite remarkable that we come upon Tower of Babel at the time where everybody's expecting the rapture this month. So if you're watching this next month, we're still here, let me know. Anyway, what do you think, Joel, about everyone talking about the rapture in September?
Yeah, I keep up with it, but I don't expect it. Well, no, okay. I just said something I should never say. Don't expect it. I do expect it. I expect the rapture to happen at any time, but I'm not laying a bet on, you know, on it happening this month. You know,
I mean, it says it's on the eighth. No, it's not on the eighth. Okay. It could happen. It's not going to be.
It could happen, you know, but you know, and I hope it does. I hope it does. I think that really is what I really want to say about it. I hope it does.
Yeah. Well, my birthday is coming up, and on the Essene calendar, it's actually on my birthday, Rosh Hashanah, or the hidden day, as we know. So that'd be fun. Yeah. I'd be out at birthday dinner, and then, boop, I change. Hey, does this mean I have to pay for it?
Before we go on, I'm gonna jump in on this real quick. You know how we have talked about how the rapture, everybody's changed. But there's nothing there that says that we just like vanish.
That's right.
I have had numerous opportunities to say that, and I promise you that the pushback on that
is they're all so much. In the table, hey.
They don't want to hear it, you know. But what I have learned is it's because that's all they've ever been told. You know, and when you really and I was the same way, you remember, because you are the one that gave it to me. I was exactly the same way. But whenever you actually start to think about it and then you start to read it, then you know, at least consider it, people. You know, don't just dismiss it, at least consider it.
It's definitely a twinkling of an eye, but it's not an evaporation.
Right.
It's a changing.
Okay. Right.
But what's really cool about it, was just on LA's show yesterday, and you know, because of the name of our ministry is The Hidden Day,
right?
He's like, I want you to talk about The Hidden Day, because he knows that's actually another name for Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah. It's all the same thing. So he knew for a while why I did that. So we talked about that. I said, you know, the rapture isn't in the vanishing. So we talked about Tim LaHaye, and it's like, we're not mad at people. It's just that that's the only thing the church ever taught.
Right.
And I said, in all honesty, that's why most people laugh at the church and the rapture believers.
That's true.
Because they think we're just going to disappear all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And
Mondo that says when they come down, we go up?
No, that's LA. Yeah.
Is that LA? Okay.
Yeah, when we go up, they come down.
Yeah. And for those of you that are not following along, that we're pretty much convinced that all this UFO stuff is going to play into this at some point. You know.
So, oh yeah, that's it. As a matter of fact, we talked a little bit about that asteroid / spaceship that's coming in, Anis or something. Anyway, it's a third eye. That's why they named it 3-Eye. Okay. And here's another thing. But it's coming in right at the right time to all of a sudden say, oh, that spaceship must have taken all of those people away. So if we're here past Rosh Hashanah, folks, and we're not here, it wasn't the spaceship.
No, it was not.
And I suspect most people will be able to see us, because just like in Acts chapter 1, he says they watched him go up. I suspect that the entire world will be watching us go up into the air. And some of them will just claim it was a UFO when they clearly can see it's Jesus.
It stands to reason that God is going to want them to see this happen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he wants the glory, and he deserves the glory. And if we just vanish, where's the glory in that for him? Mm-hmm. Whereas if we rise and everybody sees it, can't explain it. I mean, this isn't beam me up Scotty time, okay? If they see this stuff going on, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to turn to God right away. And we know that there is going to be a great number.
Yeah, the biggest revival ever is going to be during the tribulation.
Right.
You know, exactly. It's going to be the gleaming, if you would.
Yeah. We could be whatever you want to call it, the motivator generation. Or whatever.
Catalyst.
Catalyst, that's it. Perfect word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do want to make up this bumper sticker that mine. It says, Jesus is coming back again, and this time he's pissed. Because it's true. I mean, he's going to come back and destroy all the nations.
That is true, but boy, would we get some blowback on that one now.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. That's like the other one I had, and it said, Jesus is coming, look busy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Jesus loves you. Everyone else thinks you're an a-hole.
Boy, you got a bunch of them, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to make bumper stickers, make them good.
Okay. All right, David. Well, let's get back here to the prophetic connection.
You better pray. I'm going off the deep end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Father, we do ask that you come in today and please bless this broadcast and help David to be able to lead people and let them see exactly what you want them to see from the scriptures, Father. Please help me to add a little bit of something to this show, but more than anything, Father, we hope that this broadcast will reach those individuals that need it the most and allow the Holy Spirit to work on them and bring them to salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name. Amen.
Amen. We agree. So we were talking about this whole one world governance.
Mm-hmm.
And it started like in Genesis 11. It says, let us build a city, lest we be scattered, right? So let's jump over there and recapitulate.
Okay.
The whole earth was of one language and of one speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Mm-hmm. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth.
So okay. They knew the scatter thing was coming.
Yeah, well, that's what God told them. He mm-hmm. said, I want you to spread out. He even gave them all the territories. That's why we see ethnic groups in different areas. He's right. Like, okay, you go here, you go there.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Cush was sent down to Africa, and Africa's huge.
Yes,
a lot of people down there.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, I'd never really thought about the fact that they thought that was coming, but then again, like you said, he told them to scatter out. And what they were doing is, no, we're going to disobey God. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to build a tower instead and, you know, all that. Yeah, okay. I'm with you. Go ahead.
And for the same reason. And, I mean, let's look at verse 2 real quick. It said they journeyed from the east. Mm-hmm. So that has more implications than just the location.
Okay.
From the east was considered a starting point.
Hmm.
If you say, hey, you know, this something in the east, that's where the sun rises, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where the day starts. And so it's all metaphorical. If they come in from the east, this is where things are starting to begin. They're beginning. You know, there's a land east of Eden, okay, because that's where it was journeyed. So they journeyed from the east. So they literally went from the east, but it was also metaphorical because that's where things start from. And then because they were lest we be scattered, they didn't want to be scattered. So they wanted to, again, make a tower, not that it would reach unto heaven, that it would be like the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says in the Hebrew. It would
be
like
going back to Satan initially saying, you know, no, idea. It won't kill you. You know, you'll be like God.
They're all trying to be like God mm-hmm. without God.
Yeah. And that's happening right now.
You can't tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know, oh, you can't tell me what to do. Well, I kind of can. I made you.
Right.
And so God says, okay, they all have one language and they're going to do this if I don't do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he messed up the languages. Now they went into 70 different languages. You can count about 70 different like people groups.
Mm-hmm.
You could go through it and figure it out all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not about to do 70 people right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here we go. So it's a rebellion. Babel was a preemptive rebellion against divine dispersal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here we are in the end times again. He wanted us to have all the different nations. And why? Because he's like a garden. He doesn't want like one, the sunflower. That's all I got in my garden is mm-hmm. sunflower.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wants all types of different flowers, and he wants different, and he wants fruits, and he wants mm-hmm. vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and he wants mm-hmm. you know all these different types of plants, and he wants to show his diversity and his creativity. So that's why he wanted everyone to, you know, separate and go. Mm-hmm. And now look at all the different people groups.
Yeah.
You know, there's something beautiful about every last people group on the planet because that's what God wanted. He wanted to highlight all these different things. And then, you know, we turn around, oh, it's racism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, that's what God wanted. That's exactly what he wanted. We all have this DNA built into us originally, but he's like, okay, this line was going to do this one, and that one's going to do that one. And mm-hmm. it's like he's dealing out the cards. Okay, you got some tools, you got some trees over here, and all that different cards.
Well, you know, I told you that, from your notes and from my study, I was able to come up with some questions or at least comments. And one of the things that I've got here, David, is this was humanity's first attempt at a global unity apart from God.
Yes.
That it was man's rebellion, one language, one government, one agenda, rooted in pride and defiance. And that this actually parallels today with the global institutions like the UN, the WEF, the digital
yep.
governance. You know, all of that is unity without God. That was
yep.
that was it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they're trying to do that. The UN was trying to do it. Now they got BRICS because, again, mm-hmm. the demons all fight each other too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're trying to create these one world governments again.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see, you know, in Daniel in chapter 2 and I think 7 as well,
mm-hmm.
he talks about all the different nations and they're
yeah.
all coming together. So here they are, again, all these different nations trying to come together, you know, and then we see the 10 toes at the bottom and they're all trying together, but they're made of iron and clay and they fall
mm-hmm.
apart
mm-hmm.
Because God said, don't do that.
Right.
He's like, mm-hmm. yeah. So when he tells you to don't, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's really what it was. And again, it's against the divine order to be separate and then appreciate all the differences that people have.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're trying to unite again. And that's where we get all these governments. And that's why they have all this control via fake, and pandemics and, you know, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden the whole world is wearing a mask and standing 6 feet apart, which is all satanic, by the way.
Yeah. And now that is coming out to be, you know, we were talking about it as best we could without being taken down, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of the sites, anybody that had a different opinion, you know, was being mm-hmm. censored. But the thing is that we were right. They were wrong. We were right. You know,
yep.
Nana, nana, poo, poo. We beat you. Okay. But I never wore a mask. I can say that now because that's my personal opinion. That was the way that I wanted to do it. Our area here, we ignored it because we were a rural area. We didn't care. We didn't have to. We had business as usual and we had no deaths at all. Period. Not one. Okay. So, you know, all of this crap was made up. When I heard Fauci the first time, they were asking him about masks, and he said, no, we don't wear masks. If you have something, if you have a cold, flu, whatever, put a mask on, because, you know, you're kind of blocking it out from people, catching it. That made sense. Putting on a mask.
Yeah, so you don't sneeze on people, yeah.
Yeah, put on a mask to avoid it. That's stupid. That's like trying to catch air through a barbed wire fence. It's not going to work. It's just not, you know? So it was stupid. And to shut down the world over it, well, there's a place for Anthony Fauci. There is a place for Anthony Fauci, trust me.
Okay. Well, there is. I hope he repents.
Me too.
It's not going to be pretty.
No.
Imagine being held accountable for all the deaths.
I wouldn't want
him and Gates and oi,
Cuomo
oi.
And all them. Yeah, anyway. I wouldn't want, no, I wouldn't.
But I digress.
There you go.
So, but that's where it's going, and these are all test things, and they're going to try another one soon. So look out for
it. Yes, they are.
Because they want to have an excuse to make everybody under one leadership. You know, under one government control. Why do they want to control? Who knows why they want control? I do know that the principalities and powers want control, and they're convincing these people that, you know, when they have the power, then they're going to be the special ones, and they're going to get all the special healing and live for 1,000 years, and they're going to get all the special treatment. So they said, so if you just follow us, then we won't kill all your family, and we'll make you, the wonderful ones.
You continue, I'm going to put this up real quick, because here at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference and is fully tax-deductible. You can also support us by shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. When you buy, they give, and we grow. We've got Everyday Dose Coffee there. You start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. And you'll see David and I drinking this throughout the show. There's also the Conservative Store. Wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition, made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. There's Christian Book, from Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources. They've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today to shop and donate to us directly if you possibly can, but shop with our our affiliates there, because together we are reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time. And David, I didn't have the information for the new affiliate yet. By the time that I put everything together, I'm gonna let you give a plug to them real quick, and it will be posted on the Last Christian website before this show airs.
Yeah.
Okay, it will be there, so you can go.
I have been taking some classes in a Hebrew perspective of the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, from Israeli Institute for Biblical Studies. Because, not for nothing, but the Bible was written by Hebrews. Right. So it's probably a good idea to get their perspective.
Right.
So on why it was written, how it was written, and what they thought at the time. Even the Koine Greek that was used was a specific dialect that the Jews would have used.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can see more. Actually, we should probably get Tove Rose back on here.
Yeah, I think so.
And then, he's the expert in that field. And then he could talk about that a bit. But so it's really good to get the Hebrew perspective. I would highly recommend it. They are college credit courses, and you can go over there. Just go to lastchristian.net, and then you'll see a link over there for the Israeli Institute for Biblical Studies.
I have looked at it already. Like I said, just didn't have time to build it up today and put everything out there. But it'll be on from now on. I promise you that. And it will be listed on the lastchristian.net site as well. Sorry to take away from the study there, but I need to get that out there, David. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. So we're seeing the 10 kings and beast system emerge. First, they thought it was going to be the European Union, but then it, went up to like 23, and it's like, okay, that doesn't work. I am of the opinion there'll be 10 separate blocks of nations, and they're trying to do that now. Not necessarily, oh, it's just Europe and there's 10 people and then they do that. It'll probably be like, hey, here's the Americas, you know, North America, South America, Canada, Mexico. Maybe that's block one and then Africa's block two and that kind of a thing. And I'm not all that interested in it because we'll be long gone before that actually emerges. Because it clearly says they will take, it'll be for a short period. It's only going to be for a little while that they're going to have this power, and it will be as a result of us going home in the rapture. They're going to say, hey, we need a one world government to protect us from all these aliens that are stealing our people. And that's going to be the impetus for creating this one world government. So we're not going to see it. So I'm not too interested in how it's going to pan out. I just know that this is the case. So we can leave it here on our shows and in our writings. So after we're gone and people read it, they will be able to see, oh, they knew about this before and they told us ahead of time. So
but let me ask you this. Is Daniel 2 prophetic? And I'm gonna kind of qualify this because it says Daniel's prophetic statues and beasts is what I came up with here. And Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Successive world empires ending in 10 toes of iron and clay, divided yet unified global system. Can you explain that a little bit? Because that really, you know, when I read it, it still didn't make sense to me. Go ahead.
Oh, you, when you read the question or when
I've read the book of Daniel, but I'm not understanding this Nebuchadnezzar statue, whether or not it was a real, number one. And, you know, but just take it from there.
Well, first of all, just to tweak you a little bit, it's Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
But in any case, the VeggieTales just call him Nebi. And he was the giant pickle that was that owned the chocolate factory. He was Nebi. So go watch the VeggieTales; they're funny. Do you know that the tomato is not a vegetable?
Never really thought about it.
It's a fruit. Tomato is a fruit.
That's why I like them, because I love fruit.
So, yeah, it was a vision. Now, keep in mind, you know, people think, Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, and he told everybody, hey, you got to interpret the dream.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means. And he's like, no. And you got to tell me what the dream is and then tell me what it means.
Yeah.
So for years, I've heard people preach on, you know, Nebuchadnezzar forgot his dream. No, that wasn't the case. Nebuchadnezzar, he had the dream. And he's like, if you're a real prophet, you'll tell me what the dream was.
And Daniel could do that.
And then tell me the
dream. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that part. Yeah.
So he didn't forget the dream. He was testing him. And then he's like, I'm going to kill everybody. So this is a precursor. This is why we have the wise men from the East, by the way.
Okay.
Because they all loved Daniel and he was from the East. And that's where he was in Babylon for his life, ruling in with them over four kingdoms. Now, it doesn't mention anything about Daniel having any kids or anything like that, but here he was, the top government official in four different kingdoms. So he had a boatload of money. So here is all this boatload of money, but it was also the teacher. There was a school of the prophets, and then you had Zoroaster and different things like that before they went off the deep end. And then, and all of these soothsayers realized that Daniel just saved their lives and their families' lives, and they loved him. Except for every once in a while, you get someone over there doesn't like his power because everybody loves him. They're like, oh, let's try and get rid of him. So he's teaching them, okay, read the Matzorot. Check it out. Read the story. He's like, hey, this is what's written in the stars. When you see this, when you see this, when you see this, that's when the King of Kings is coming. Right. And the short story is, here it is, Jupiter goes through Leo the lion, so Jupiter was their king planet, Now, mm-hmm. we just call it Jupiter today. It was actually the king planet because it's the biggest one out there. It goes through Leo the Lion, who is the king. So he's the king of kings. And then he does a retrograde for 9 months inside of Virgo, the Virgin. So when they saw this sign, they're like, that's the sign. Let's go get Daniel's money and we'll bring that to the king.
Uh-huh.
That's where we get the story of the wise men.
Okay.
And so they knew that this money was to bring this to the Messiah. That's why they traveled for 2 years through the desert to bring it. Not be, you know, they didn't bring it like a gold coin. Hey, I got this gold coin for the king of all the universe.
Yeah, we talked about that on another show. And, you know, when you first brought that up, it's something that I'd never thought about before. It made perfect sense. But, you know, they didn't just come with a couple of things there and throw it down on the ground and that's it. You know, they came with.
Yeah, they went to the Bible bookstore down the street and they got a little jar of myrrh. Here's some myrrh for you.
Yeah, right.
You know, with a card. Okay. Hey, thanks for coming and being, you know, the king. Okay. Here's a card.
Yeah. Well, now, to get back to it a little bit, though, here, Daniel 7 now. I'm skipping ahead. Mm-hmm. The Ten Kings.
Well, I'm not done with that one.
You're not done with that one.
We got a long way
yet.
To go on this one.
Okay, well, go ahead with that one, and then I'll get to Daniel 7 in a minute. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I'll do a precursor for this, and then we'll make you watch commercials for a little bit.
You go ahead.
All right, unless you're on YouTube, then you don't have to watch them. You might. You could skip through them. So where was I? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. So he saved all the little astrologers and everybody over there, okay? Mm-hmm. So they loved him, and the king was mad because no one could do it. He's like, you call yourself prophets and you can't interpret this dream for me?
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel's like, hold on one minute. Let me go pray. Mm-hmm. He comes back. God gave him the vision and told him what it meant. Okay? And he said, here's your vision. Yeah, you got the head of gold. That's you. And then you got the silver arms and chest plates. And then you got the gold, the silver, and then the bronze, and then the iron, right? So we got bronze midsection there, and then the iron, and then the iron and clay. So, yeah, there's a lot to that. But it was just a vision.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an actual statue. The actual statue comes later. Okay. That's when Nebuchadnezzar went to his head a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he turned him into a werewolf. That was fun.
I remember that, too. That was cool.
Yeah. It's like, why is this dude a werewolf? It's like the king of the earth. So we're going to have some fun when we come back. But in the meantime, if you have not received Jesus, it's time. It is time right now. Mm-hmm. Just bow your hearts. He paid for your sins. Accept that payment and tell him how much you love him and that you can come and hang out in the new millennium with us and Jesus. And we're just going to have a great old time. But in the meantime, Lord willing, we'll see you in the second half of the show. Bye.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
Hey, look at that. We made it back. All right. Well, it's getting close, but wouldn't it be cool if we're doing a show and then we leave and then we come back and the rapture happened right in that 2 minute time period.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we come back and we're all like glowy, dark, you know,
right.
All this stuff.
Told
you. Hey, by the way, the rapture happened.
Told you. Yeah. That would be cool.
Oh, look, we could still record.
Yeah, I wonder if the Lord would let us finish that show. I bet he would.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
One more. It's not
finish
hurt
it up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll hold on to the bread and the fish. They'll be right over here. Don't worry about it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why I think like that, but I did.
Because you're David. That's why.
So we're talking about the kingdoms, and this leads into the 10 kingdoms and the toes way down at the bottom. And you'll see, obviously, it's talked about ad infinitum, that the gold is worth the most, but it's the softest, you know, and then silver is worth less, but it's a little harder. Mm-hmm. Bronze is worth less, but a little harder. And then iron is worth less, but a little harder.
Right.
So it successively gets harder while the value becomes less and less. And then at the bottom, so here's a dream he has. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, and then we know that because of further conversations, Daniel prayed, and he's like, no, I was talking with the prince of Persia. So that was the silver one, and it had two arms because it was the Medes and the Persians. And then the Medes and the Persians, he was praying, and then he said, I had to go fight the prince of Persia. Now I'm going to fight the prince of Greece, which wasn't for hundreds of years. Hmm. So the prophecy here was so exact that they actually claimed that Daniel was written after all these things happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect excuse.
And well, the problem becomes it was actually translated before all of it happened into Greek. We call it the Septuagint.
Right.
So there's that little issue. there's proof that it was around before that. So the division is all of the kingdoms throughout the ages, if you would. Mm-hmm. But if you notice, they're all one kingdom. It's all one statue.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But it was represented and manifested, I guess, shown that this was a different... what's the word I'm looking for? So the different personalities each one of them had. I guess that's the best thing to say.
Yeah.
Different personalities of each kingdom along the way. And here we end in the iron one. And the iron has two legs, okay, because there was the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire.
Okay.
And then the Roman Empire didn't really leave. I mean, we had Constantine and all the way down through Constantinople. Uh-huh. That lasted 1,000 years later, even than the Roman one. So that leg went down. So that came down, and now here we are at the feet made of iron and clay. Okay. Yeah. So we have this system, and there's even at the very end of that is the 10 toes. So at the very bottom of all of this, the 10 toes are mixed with the iron and the clay. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the great rock comes out of heaven and lands on them, on that 10 kingdom, and destroys the whole statue at once.
Okay, so
that's indicative of they're all one statue. So it's all the same world government with the different personalities along the way. Uh-huh. And it even talks about, there was the eighth king that came out, but he was of the seven. So I believe most likely Nimrod coming from the earlier one in the Tower of Babel.
Yeah. I'm looking at this thing on Nimrod here.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me get back to
I do like to call people a Nimrod.
Yeah, I'm trying to find.
It's
yeah,
like, he's too powerful.
The Antichrist mirrors Nimrod. Would that add up for you? Both.
Yeah, and both I believe it's probably the reincarnation, if you would.
Okay. Okay.
Of that spirit, this sort of spirit of Nimrod.
Okay.
Maybe comes back, or the spirit that inhabited him because he became a Gibberim.
Yeah.
So okay. Maybe Nimrod was like.
You know, it said that both were world leader or world rulers, yep. And both are opposing God's authority, and that's obvious, yep. if you read it. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So he started this whole thing, and his spirit goes all the way through, but now he's coming back at the end. Okay. That's kind of the way I read it.
Okay.
And it, I suspect that Nimrod was probably just like a cool dude that was hanging out, but then he wanted to be like the king.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he read all those things, remember, the son of Canaan, his he read those writings on the stones, mm-hmm. from the Nephilim. So Noah's grandson. And then later on, we see Nimrod became a Gibberim. Yeah. I'm wondering if the same thing, like from the Antichrist, is going to do this as well. It's just a guy, and they talk him into, hey, you're going to have all this power. You're going to be the king of the whole world, you know, and they set him up to be the king of the whole world, and everybody loves him. And then the demon kicks him out of the body, mm-hmm. and then takes over the body.
Well, let me say this real quick, because it just kind of hit me. We can use a comparison here. Now, I'm not saying this guy is it, okay? Wipe this away right away. But imagine this guy that you got there in New York that's running for mayor, okay? Mamaduke or whatever the heck his name is. Okay?
Marmaduke. Yeah.
He came out of nowhere, right? I mean, he came literally out of nowhere. He's got no experience doing anything except singing a stupid rap song with his shirt off. That's his experience in life, okay? But now he is.
I live here, and literally nobody I've spoken to has heard of him. It's like, where did he come from?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But that just gives you, for all of the people out there that say, well, you know, this Antichrist guy's got to be somebody that's prominent. No, it can happen in seconds, because Mamaduke or whatever his name is, he came out of nowhere. I mean, absolutely nowhere.
Pajama Mama.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, David. Go ahead.
That's okay. Now, in Daniel 7:20, check this out.
Okay.
You're talking about exactly that. And it says the 10 horns were in his head, and of the other which came up. So he's talking about all these horns, which is exactly where you were going here.
Yeah.
All right. So Daniel 7:19, it says, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Here's the final beast, right?
Okay.
It says, which was diverse from all the others. So it is, you can't even describe it. You got a lion, a bear, and an eagle. And he's like, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. So this guy is going to really take over the earth.
Sounds like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like be really, really mean. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up. So there's 10 horns, right? We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And the other came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he was really big.
Yeah.
All right, so it's probably Nephilim.
Mm-hmm,
by him, behold, that same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's going to come out of nowhere. He's going to be, all of a sudden, there'll be 10 horns, and then there's another one that came up.
Mm-hmm, okay.
There's three fell, and the horn that came up and had eyes, yeah, he's going to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to be more stout than his fellows.
Okay, yeah, well, that disqualifies Mamaduke, because he's a little bitty. He's a little bitty guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's a little 100 bitty.
Pounds. Yeah,
okay. But they're setting it up to get people used to that scenario.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, anybody can just come up and all of a sudden be the leader of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The world. Okay.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. So here we are with the statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 10 kings are on the bottom. And many in my prophecy teaching world think that the iron and the clay. The iron represents like machinery, mm-hmm. and the clay represents, you know, like we're made of clay.
Right.
Like
right.
man was made mm-hmm. of clay.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And now we could be, they're trying to make these, you know, $6 million man kind of people. With these,
yeah, that's transhumanism.
Superhumans.
Transhumanism.
Transhumanism mm-hmm. yeah. with combined with the robot parts. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, that's what our buddy Elon wants to do.
Yeah, we had a show on it just a few shows ago. For those of you that want to go to lastchristian.net, you can look on there. We've got a transhumanism show where we actually detail mm-hmm. that and actually show you the people that are trying to push it. So yep. it's worth your time. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, get back over there. But that some people surmise that mm-hmm. that's what that's indicating. Mm-hmm. And we know it's all one government because the stone, the rock of Jesus, comes down and he destroys the entire statue right. and like obliterates it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? It's like you can't yeah. even find any dust of it anywhere. It's like, wow, that's really cool. Yeah,
complete annihilation.
So that means when we get to the millennium, there's going to be zero remnants of this evil government that we are dealing with right now.
Right.
So that's
right.
going to be glorious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And everything is going to go back to, you know, pre-flood times. And probably even closer to Edamic times. You know, what was it like in the Garden of Eden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it says the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the lion will eat grass like an ox, kids will mm-hmm. play with snakes. And he also said that I can have a dinosaur for a pet and all these cool things.
Okay, then.
What, okay. It didn't say it?
It did not say that.
Oh.
That's your
right.
hope.
Well,
that is your hope
I
and
suspect.
Dream. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Because everything before the flood was an herbivore. Everything was a vegetarian because mm-hmm. it was a different ecosystem.
Yeah.
And plants were actually good for you back then. Right now, they've been so diminished, they're not as good for you. And that's why when Noah got off the boat, he says, okay, now you got to eat these animals.
Right.
to get all the nutrition you're going to need. So it's been that way since, but it's just the world is collapsing. But he's going to set it all back up with no remnants of his previous government anyway.
Amen.
So he tells Nebi that's that on the Nebi statue.
Okay. All right. Well, now I'm going to go to Daniel 7. Okay.
Okay.
And you've kind of touched on this already, but you're talking about the 10 kings that rise. But I'm focused on the followed by the little horn, and this little horn is the Antichrist, right? So he uproots mm-hmm. three at the same time or whatever, and speaks blasphemies against God. It's the notes I took real quick.
Yep, and it was just the same kind of an idea we had in Daniel 2. Yep.
Okay. Okay. All right. So the Antichrist is mirroring this Nimrod guy. Okay, where they're both opposing God.
And I think it's actually a reincarnation, not of the same man, but of the same spirit that took over Nimrod's body.
Uh-huh.
It looks to me like if he became a Gibberim, then he wasn't one before that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this,
which means
is the present day alliances, you know, the shifting stuff going on there. Is it pretty much?
Well, remember, we talk about this a lot. They all these people that want all this great power, they're actually lied to, and they go to their, you know, all their rituals and they do all that stuff.
Right.
They're literally told that, oh, if you just follow our plan, then you're going to be the head of all this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, look at Hitler, man. He was, sheesh.
Well, I'm looking more at the Pope. Did you see that the other day where he, did something with the LGBTQ plus folks, you know?
I don't know. Did he make a new sandwich called the LGBTQ?
No, he's trying to bring them into the fold and, you know, make it like it's okay or something, you know? And
is he really?
Yeah, that's like Antichrist stuff right there. I mean, you know, that is not what the Bible says at all.
Yeah, he would be the false prophet.
Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got, the people that are being convinced that they're going to be these world leaders, mm-hmm. they're going to build them up so they create that presence. And then they're going to actually, just like demons do, is going to possess that body. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have these people. If you actually listen to people who've been possessed by super strong demons or many demons, they felt like they were shoved in a corner back in their own body and they couldn't control it.
Oh, wow. Anything. Okay. Yeah. I've never heard anything of that. So you know, that's something we ought to bring out at some time to discuss, because I've never heard any of these stories at all, ever.
Yeah. I've got some friends that are in that field of, you know, deliverance and whatnot. Okay. And that's what a lot of these people have said is like, this demon took over my body and I couldn't do anything.
We need to get them on. Basically, I think that's important.
Okay. Tied to a chair in the back in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, meanwhile, all this stuff is going on. So these demons, if you give them permission, they have the power. But you got to realize that, you know, Jesus in Colossians 2:15 says he defeated them and he made a mockery of them. Mm-hmm. So you just need to say, I have the blood of Jesus. This is my new contract. You've been evicted. You need to get out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they don't know that at the time. So there they are with all this stuff. The same thing is going to happen. They're going to convince these people. They're going to be world leaders. They're going to be super wonderful. But then when they get to that power, boom, it takes over. I think that happened to Nimrod. That's why all of a sudden he became that giant.
Yeah.
And then I think the same thing's going to happen because he's more stout than his fellows. I think the same thing's going to happen. So it might beat his little, you know, Marmaduke fella. But then when he's possessed, all of a sudden, like Nimrod, he becomes huge again.
Yeah.
I don't think it's him.
I don't either. He's too stupid.
He's a waste of
personal
time.
Personal opinion, people, he's stupid.
Yeah. Okay. But correct opinion. But that's what's going to happen with the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the guy. And he's always got one in the wings. Oh, you're going to be the world leader. Just like Hitler. You're going to be the world leader. Oh, well, that didn't work. So he goes to the next guy. Who's the Muslim?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so he'll just always have one in the wings because he doesn't know when the rapture is either.
Right. Yeah, he's blind to it too.
So, and people say, oh, who's the Antichrist? It doesn't matter because it's the spirit of Antichrist. He's just going to inhabit whatever body that he has prepared at that time. So if that body dies, he's just going to prepare the next guy.
Yeah, I think that's an important point there, David, that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world and has always been in the world. Mm-hmm. And Satan's just waiting for that opportunity for that Antichrist to rise. And for everybody listening out there, we're getting close to it. Go ahead, David.
Yep. And here's what's going to happen. He's going to make that guy so powerful and rich, and everybody's going to love him, and then he's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he has to appear to rise from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So here's there's the Antichrist. He's got the wound unto death, and he appears to come back to life. And now you got to take the number of his name and worship him because he came back to life and he's the Messiah. He's going to sit on the mercy seat and the abomination of desolation. Yeah. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he has to kill the guy. And the guy doesn't realize that. So he thinks, oh, I'm going to be the king of the world. It's like, until Satan kills you.
For a second.
Takes over your body and makes everyone think you came back to life.
Right.
But that's his little horn dude. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
He waxed exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, towards a pleasant land. So there's Israel.
Okay.
And it waxed great even to the hosts of heaven and did cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped on them.
Explain
that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I was fixing to say that's real interesting. Explain that one.
Well, remember, we always talk about the demons are even fighting each other, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
For power.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is. Here's the biggest of all the demons, and he's casting down some of the other ones. And yet he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, which would be Jesus' positions. Mm-hmm. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read this and you actually dig into it, and understand that the demons all hate everything, so they hate each other too, and they're just vying for power. He's going to cast down the other ones, and he's going to, you know, take over, and he's going to say, okay, well, now I'm the prince.
Mm-hmm.
So the story just fits. when you read it all together. Mm-hmm. When you read it in churchianity or Christianese, it really doesn't make any sense, because mm-hmm. it's like, it comes up, yeah, we're going to evaporate one day. No, let's go back and read it.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay. And, you know, the Antichrist doesn't just come out of nowhere and go, no, he's going to come out and he's going to be wonderful. Everyone's going to love him. He's going to fix the whole world.
Yeah.
And there'll be the remnant will actually see through him and not receive him. But all the chaos starts on the earth, like vomiting itself, is basically the first half of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, after the two witnesses are done, because they're going to witness for 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they're going to be like, yay, they're dead. You know, ding, dong, the witches.
Yeah, right.
They're going to give gifts to each other. And then the Antichrist is going to come forward.
Yeah.
And the second half is going to be super extra horrible.
Yeah. For a while, anyway. For a while.
Well, for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then and then the Savior comes back, and we're living large and laughing easy.
Now, one little note I wrote in here, and I'm not really sure why I did it. I'll be real honest. Pentecost, mm-hmm. Acts 2. How does this fit? I've got languages united by the Spirit, not by rebellion.
Well, Zephaniah 3:9, it says the reversal of Babel.
That's it. That 3:9. I've got that in my notes over here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Zephy. We call him Zephy.
Okay.
I think I'm going to get a dog and just name him Zephaniah.
Mm.
Just
cool
for that.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. 3:9. Let me see. For then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even a daughter of my dispersed. Okay, so there's all the Jews from around the world, shall bring mine offering. In that day shall not be ashamed for all thy doings. Okay, right now they tend to be ashamed, I guess. But they won't be then, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. Then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. So, and then he says, sing, daughter of Zion. The Acts was the beginning. It even says in Acts chapter 2, this is what's spoken of by Joel the prophet. You know, the old man with the dreams of visions, and they'll be a pure language again. Okay. And in Acts, if I could speak and you can like speak, you know, Chinese, but you'd understand what I'd say.
Yeah.
So it's like the reversal of Babel.
Yeah. Is this where God promises to restore language?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll all basically speak one language.
Yeah. Okay. Hebrew.
I suspect it's ancient Hebrew. We'll see.
Yeah. Me
too. The original, like, you know, Adam and Eve type Hebrew language, which has, you know, grown over the years as well. You get from Paleo to, you know, Babylonian to the captivity ones, and different ones, and then to the Masoretic text. So that has changed over time as well. But I think it'll be the original one.
Yeah,
that's going to be cool. We could have written Paleo like my logo.
Giving it to me.
Yeah. And he just downloads it. Here you go.
Love it.
But it's reversing Babel. He's separate now. He wants everybody to come and be one. Under the king of the whole earth. So that's why we'll all speak in one language.
I got you.
And then Israel will again be the representation. It says, okay, this is my example of how people are supposed to live around the world.
Okay.
Just Israel.
Okay. So we don't need to be bowing to this system at all, you know, but instead preparing for Christ, because he's a legit king. Stay away from this beast system. We don't want any part of that.
Yep. You know, and then Joel too. Who moved Joel? it talks about all those. What happened to it? It disappeared. Oh, it's easy to pull up. Hang on.
That's because you got like 600 tabs open. I know how it works.
Yeah. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh and is nigh his hand. Mm-hmm. That's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you read that, the day of darkness and gloominess, clouds and thick darkness, and morning spread upon the mountains, people great and strong, and has never been, not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it.
Now, I'm not really sure where you're at, but I'm thinking Revelation, maybe 19.
No, that's Joel 2.
Joel 2, okay. But isn't that kind of repeated in Revelation 19, or close to it? Something
there? Yeah, well, everything in Revelation is a repeat of something in the Old Testament.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it is. There's over 800 references to the Old Testament. So if you don't understand Revelation, read your Old Testament.
Why are people so afraid of it then? And preachers afraid of it?
Because they don't read the Old Testament.
Yeah. Bingo. There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you read the Old Testament, you'd get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're correct.
So
you are
in Revelation 13, you know, this is the powers, and it says it was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and we've given him the power to continue 42 months. Mm-hmm. So there's that 3.5 years.
Yep.
And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints.
Yeah. There you go.
And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Mm-hmm. So on our way out, let's just talk about this.
Okay.
And it says he was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't Jesus tell us as the church that we have power over all the demons and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper?
Yes.
And that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not be able to withstand our attack on it?
Yes.
Well, then why here in the middle of the tribulation period does it says he gave him to make war with the saints and to overcome them?
Because the church isn't there.
That's right. Because this is a different set of saints. This is what we call the tribulation saints.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is another proof that the ecclesia, the church, the bride of Christ, will not be here, because the bride of Christ can overcome the devil.
Correct.
Okay. But during the tribulation, it's like, no, we're back to that, where the Holy Spirit comes on people, doesn't live within you. So, this is what we have to deal with.
Right.
They will have a special crown, though.
Yes, they will.
The tribulation saints. So, we pray for you. If you're in the tribulation, that's where God wanted you. Just deal with it, because it's a wonderful thing at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As for now, you can come with us in the rapture and avoid all that if you'd like. Jesus actually paid off your debt contract that you had with sin. The wages of sin is death. That's why Jesus died as God, to pay off all of your debt. Amen. And as the man. So we give you all the praise. We'll see you next time. Bye.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.
Is your spiritual race feeling solitary or slow? Run with Horses invites you to pick up the pace. Each day at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Revelation Radio brings you Run with Horses, a powerful show brought to you by Norman and Susan Smith, designed to help followers of Jesus grow deeper, aim higher, and live on mission. Draw strength from biblical discipleship, develop healthy marriages, and build godly families, all through conversations that are intentional, spirit-led, and deeply influential. If you long to be an intentional disciple maker, someone who leads others, lives humbly, and models God's word, this show is for you. Run with Horses equips you to see life through the lens of Scripture, embrace God's refining process, and grow as His warrior. Don't just listen, run. Join Norman and Susan on Run with Horses daily at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio.